Welcome back to Mom's the Word. The statistics are undeniable. Half of all American children will witness the breakup of their parents' marriage. And the truth is that children of divorce have significantly more adjustment and achievement problems than children from non-divorced parents. And all the research points to the same conclusions. How the parents deal with the divorce directly impacts the adjustment of the children. And here to talk about her book, The Seven Fatal Mistakes Divorced and Separated Parents Make, is Shannon Rios. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us. Now, you are a divorce attorney here in Denver, aren't you?
No, I'm a therapist that works with children and families going through divorce and conflict.
Okay, a divorce therapist. Sorry. I don't know why. Divorce, I always think attorney. I guess I, maybe because I used to be one.
That's right.
So tell us this, the seven fatal mistakes divorced and separated parents make. We all know that. We all see children thrive. I can see the difference in my friends who are divorced who don't talk to each other. And I can see the difference in the parents that are amicable. And we all know that. But let's face it, it's not always going to be easy. But let's just go through your book. If you can give us some strategies for raising these healthy children of divorce, that would be great. But first, let's try and what are the seven mistakes?
Well, the seven mistakes are, the first one is the parent basher. So, of course, saying negative things to your child about their other parent. That hurts the child inside because they're genetically part of that other parent.
Right.
So it's like you're just saying something negative about them. So that chapter talks about that in detail. And the next mistake is turning your child into Gumby. So that's putting them in the middle of financial issues, emotional upsets, anything that's going on between the two parents. And children sometimes feel quite put in the middle. And it's
right.
Very
like if you want to do soccer, your father has to pay for it.
But when you're talking about that, like, and as you're saying, the financial issues, even with children of non-divorce, what is there a fine line? Because I know when I was growing up, my parents never talked about finances. They never talked, oh, hey, you want to do this cheerleading squad? That's going to cost us $100 a week. Or, you know, they never did any of that. But at the same time, I literally grew up not having a clue about the value of money. Is there a fine line? Is there a
way to talk about finances?
Yeah,
exactly. Well, what I tell parents is, especially if they haven't before, and they're going to talk about their children, about finances with their children because of the divorce, because as we know, there's now two homes. So a lot of times my advice is to say that, you know, now we have to be on a budget and, you know, this is our budget this week. So we have $10 and we can go to the park, we can go get a movie, we can go get a pizza, you know, whatever it is, and let the kids make the choice, but also involve them in that, but not in a negative way, like, oh, I don't have money to pay the bills. That's really nothing that parents should involve children in. We don't expect them to pay the bills, so we shouldn't involve them in our stress around that, because kids are kids right now. We want them to have fun and do the things their kids are doing. We also want them to learn skills, just like you said, but we can teach them those without bringing them into our stress.
Okay, good. Good to know. Good to tips. What's next? What's the third fatal mistake?
The next one is, it's general, but it's called understanding the impact of your behavior on your child's development. In that, I talk about fighting, upside-down parenting, which is when the child takes care of the parent during the divorce, child as a friend, structure and rule, making sure parents continue the same structure and rules and not give the child free rein because of this divorce situation. So it really just goes into all the different, a lot of different things about the parent's behavior that they can understand will help their child better through the divorce.
Well, I'm thinking of Susan on Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
She's always involving her poor daughter in her love life and all her problems.
Right.
It's so wrong.
Right. Not helpful. Not helpful. Kids, again, I would say kids have three jobs. One is to, you know, respect their parents and listen to their parents, to do a good job in school, and to have fun and play. Their job is not to take on their parents' issues or hear about court proceedings or anything like that. And I've heard all of that from these kids.
Yes.
So the next one is not understanding the needs of children. Sometimes it's parents, you know, just are not understanding what children need during this time. And in that area, I talk a lot about telling the kids, you know, trying to present that united front to kids, having parents tell them together if at all possible, you know, getting kids into therapy if it seems important. And normally, especially at those younger developmental ages, kids are real egocentric. They think that this divorce is about them in some way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they don't want to talk to their parents about that. So, you know, when they're in therapy, they can talk to someone else to kind of get that out. And if parents are conflicting, it's just their obligation, I believe, to get their kids into therapy because they're putting their kids through stress.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the other in that area is the grief process. So divorce is like a death, and kids are going to go through their own grief process, and parents need to be educated about that. They need to be educated about that for themselves because they're going to go through it. All parents go through it at a different stage. Sometimes one parent's already all done with it by the time the divorce happens. Sometimes the other parent's shocked, and the kids are shocked as well. So, you know, that other parent that's already gone through their grief, sometimes they say, well, I don't know what's wrong with my kids, or why are they being angry at me? Well, they're going through the stages of grief.
Well, especially if it's like a messy thing where it's not just like we decided to move on. There's extenuating
right.
circumstances. Who should explain that? The counselor? Because, you know, the mom, say the wife and the husband has someone new or the wife has someone new. Do you need to explain that to your children?
Well,
if they're going to be in their life, I guess?
Well, and hopefully, and my book talks about you're getting right into one of the seven fatal mistakes, and that's the dating game.
Oh, okay.
So and my advice on that is it should be a year before other people are brought into it. We know that sometimes people are brought into it right away, and that's difficult. And those are the situations where kids get brought into it, and that it is good to have them speak with a therapist because they're going to have a lot of angry feelings potentially at that other parent sometimes.
Yeah. Okay.
So you know,
even if there was another person because of the breakup, they have to sort of unengage with them for a year before they bring them to the actual children, would you say? That's still the advice?
What I believe is healthy is to take that year with your kids.
With your kids.
Especially if you have shared parenting time, you have that other week to be with that person.
There you go.
Right?
Okay.
So you have your full week or your even if it's just a weekend, that should just be with your kids. They need
the
parent
priority.
During
right.
this time. You had them first, remember.
What about the people when you say wait a year and they're like, oh yeah, I'll wait a year, but they introduce them to their kids as their friend?
Right. And I talk about that in my book because I had a 7-year-old and mom said, oh, we just went to the park and he just knows that Joe's my friend. It's not a big deal. And so the kid came into my office and he'd had high anxiety already. He was 7.
Yeah.
And he said to me, oh my gosh, what if my mom marries this guy and then my dad's going to be alone? And then what if my mom divorces this guy? I don't know what we're going to do. And so that's what I say to parents that say we're going to introduce them as friends.
They know better.
Kids are smart.
Right, 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 right.
You have really intelligent children, mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they know. Do no fooling
exactly.
them.
Exactly, exactly. So, and then the next mistake that I have is choosing not to heal your own pain as a parent and as a person and take some responsibility, even if it's just the responsibility that at one point in time you chose this person to have a child with.
Mm-hmm, right.
And, yeah, so we made that choice, and then it's moving on from that. And,
mm-hmm.
and it's healing the best that you can, because what we know about relationship is if we don't take a little time to heal and look at what we did or what mistakes the parent made in choosing this person, you will most likely make another bad choice in the next partner.
Right.
Right.
Then you're bringing your kids into that again. Which is my only issue with that.
Right.
Do you ever counsel people who, you know, are getting a divorce or have gotten a divorce and then they go through counseling or they start with their kids and maybe they come in and then end up getting back together?
I haven't had any of those situations.
No, they just still hate each other.
Right? Normally, if they're with me,
there's been some pretty big issues
that have been between the two people, and I haven't dealt with that. Of course, I've seen that, and I've had it in family and friends,
right.
but I haven't had to deal with that. I think that can cause stress for kids too, but because of the unknown,
right.
and because of the long term of that, but it can be fine as well if the parents, you know, get back together and go through therapy and are committed long term.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
that's great.
Okay, good.
And the next one that we already talked about a little bit is the dating game.
Right.
And I call that not playing fair and following the rules. And I just kind of say, you know, parents, dating is not exciting for your children. You know, parents want to introduce this new person. It's exciting for them. But a lot of times it's pretty stressful for kids because for them it means the end of the marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times kids hold on to that hope. Mom and dad will get back together. They'll get back together. And then when they meet somebody new, you know, sometimes that can let them know this is not going to,
right.
we're not going to be back together as a family, and that can be stressful. But, you know, and it's just that whole thing of just as we already spoke about, spending time with your kids is so important right now. Your kids are adjusting. And taking that full year, if you can, to just be with your kids. Once your kids know, that's what I say, once your kids know that you're separating or you're divorcing, a year after that time, and basically it should hopefully be that you move out of, you know, living together.
Yeah.
A year after that, because we all know that divorces can take a long time due to financial you know, situations and all that. So,
and what do you think about that right now with, like, people trying to stay together but be separated, if you will? Does that ever work?
Right. Well, I believe that even if it's under the same roof or even apart, if people are saying that they're separated and that they're not together any longer as a two-parent family, that is, can work, obviously, for a period of time. A lot of families do it. But long-term, I'd say, you know, more than a couple years, that can be stressful because the kids, no one is able to kind of move forward.
Okay.
And it kind of keeps everybody in this holding pattern,
especially
if there's some anger going on, is what I've seen in families.
And it's not beneficial to the children that way either.
Right, okay. Right, because it just creates this underlying level of continuous stress, especially if one parent is not wanting the divorce or separation.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And let's see, and the next mistake that I have, and this is the last one in the book, is checking out on your children. So sometimes I've heard parents say, and I teach a divorce education class. I taught it for Minnesota, and I teach it for Park County, Colorado. And I heard parents say, well, you know, mom and I are fighting. This came from a dad at this point. Mom and I are fighting so much, I think it was just better for my daughter if I just, you know, went away from them for a while and took a break. And actually, it's fine to take a break from mom, but not your kids.
Right.
So, you know, that
is... No checking out on your kids.
Right, exactly.
That's lame.
We don't check out on our children once we have them.
Yeah, that's lame.
All
right.
Yeah.
All right, Shannon.
Good advice.
The book is called The 7 Fatal Mistakes Divorced and Separated Parents Make, Strategies for Raising Healthy Children of Divorce and Conflict.
Yep, and my website is healthychildrenofdivorce.com.
Excellent. Right, well, thanks so much for joining us on
Thank
Mom's the
so
Word.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And until next time, don't forget to spread the word.
Mom's the word.